Hi, my name is Rebecca. I'm a soprano and committee member with the Handful Chamber Choir in Bath. Ahead of our concert on Saturday the 4th of December, I'm pleased to be introducing Vicente, who is the Handful's new musical director. We'll be chatting about the concert and what it has to offer, including two pieces which I'm pretty sure you will have never heard before. Hi Vicente, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So the Handful has been singing with you and getting to know you this term, but our audience won't have met you yet. So can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Ooh, gosh, where to begin? Well, I'm a conductor by training. So I trained at the Royal College of Music. And before that, being originally American, I trained in the US. I'm originally from Miami. I did my bachelor's and master's there, and I did my doctorate in early music, because I'm a huge early music fiend. And I did that in LA, which was quite the adventure. But between all of that and kind of intermingled with it, I've always done a choral singing, and then I did a fair bit of choral conducting as well. So I began my formal choral training at USC in Los Angeles, and sort of continued it, you know, ever since. And even after I came to London to study at the RCM, I kept being in choirs, leading choirs, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you're clearly a natural leader now. But how did you get here? What was it that led to an interest in conducting?
I think, like a lot of people that conduct choirs or are choral singers, et cetera, I began that road as a church musician. I've always been a church musician since I was 11, really. And at one point, I remember when I was maybe 13, 14, our then director left because she got married and moved to Spain. And it was quite quick and sudden. And I was left to kind of hold down the fort. I think people recognized that I had some sort of, you know, I had something to say. And I've always said that as an artist, as a musician, you have to have something to say. Otherwise, you're just kind of there, going with the flow. But I think, you know, artists of pretty much any shape or form or walk of life have something to say. And I was never very shy about that. And so I started leading when around that age of 13, 14, I had to fill in as a pianist. I had to, you know, basically teach myself how to play basic piano, just, you know, a basic chords and stuff to accompany a small church group. And eventually it was down to me to start leading it. And I realized that I had a natural affinity for doing that sort of thing, because I could give people a vision. I could ask for things without, you know, it being, I hope, altogether bossy or, you know, completely extra, to use a modern day term. And I think people saw something in that and they encouraged it a bit. And once I got to uni, I started taking conducting classes and things kind of snowballed from there.
Great. Back in the summer when you applied to be the Handful's musical director and came to audition, bearing in mind we hadn't sung together at this point for a year and a half, so we were probably a bit nervous as well.
Yeah.
And what was it about the Handful that made you want to work with us and make music with us?
It was a lovely environment, first of all. I remember I walked up from the basement of the church, which was kind of like the holding room for the auditionees, and people clapped, like they applauded as I walked in. I was just like, wow, this is a great reception.
And you hadn't done anything yet.
I hadn't done anything. I literally just walked into the room and it was great. It's like, way to stroke my ego. But it seemed like a gung-ho group of people that really liked getting to make music together. And, you know, that's what you want as a conductor, is you want a group of people that want to be there. And really, there's no better reward than that. I think what drew me very quickly was the prepared bit of the audition. You were very well prepared as a group. You knew it, your stuff, and you were very responsive to instructions that I gave. But what really sold it was when, so part of the audition was bringing a piece for the choir to sight read and to see what we could do in 20 minutes. And I brought a rather straightforward piece, which we'll be doing in our concert next month, actually. So if everybody, you come on the 4th of December, you'll get to hear a Peter Lutkin's The Lord Bless You and Keep You, which is a lovely, lovely piece. And you all sight read it almost perfectly in the first go. And that was quite impressive. That was like, great. Now what? There's not much to fix here. I have 20 minutes with it. And in that 20 minutes, we were able to really, really make music and prepare a comparatively polished version of that piece. And so that was very, very, very attractive, because if in 20 minutes I could do that, kind of imagine a whole program. I mean, just the possibilities are endless almost. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was very, very attractive. And so as time went on in the audition, I thought, oh, these are great. I don't want to leave them now. I kind of really want this job. And then I was very pleased to get our chairman Liz's call that I was being offered it. So, yeah.
And it was really exciting to be singing at that point. So.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. I mean, how people have managed a year and a half without doing this, especially when, you know, it's been a regular thing for a lot of choirs, not just a handful, but the choirs around the country and around the world that haven't been able to do this for, you know, almost 2 years now. And I know a few of my former choirs are only just starting to be able to sing again. Yeah. And it's been, you know, almost 2 years, and that's a lot. It's a lot to have deprived people of the right and the privilege to make music as one unit. So, yeah. I can imagine it was an exciting time for you guys.
Yeah, but saying that, we're really excited to finally be doing a concert again.
Yeah.
And our next concert, Serenity, Songs of Blessing and Reflection, mm-hmm. is quite a varied program. So that
it's
contemplative yet joyful, and there are a few drinking songs in there too to get us in the festive mood. How did you bring this program together?
I mean, drinking songs always have to be in there, because I think there's no better place than the pub to really make you reflect on things, if I'm honest. I mean, who doesn't love a nice cold pint after, you know, a long day of whatnot? But I think it's a wonderful program to, you know, get back into things. It contains a little bit of everything. So there's something for everyone. And I wanted a program where we could express our joy at being back. We could also reflect on the time that we haven't been able to meet. We can also remember those who, you know, are very sadly in these crazy times of, you know, a pandemic, just didn't make it, unfortunately. I mean, and I think we all know someone, or at the very least, we know of someone that we've lost to this pandemic. And it's crazy, in March 2020, I don't think we could have really fathomed that. I just think it was at the very beginning, if we knew someone or knew of someone who you know, it was infected, it was a big deal. Mm. Whereas nowadays, lots of us have had it. I'm sort of a touching wood, because I've managed to avoid the plague, but lots of us have had it and gone through it, and or we know people who have been directly affected. So I just think we've been under this cloud for the past 19 or 20 months, and so this program is a nice way of just looking back and saying, and being grateful for what we have, being grateful for our health, remembering what we've lost, and being happy at just things seem to finally be getting better again. So there's two premieres which we're very excited about. One by J. Michael Saunders, who's a wonderful composer based in Oregon. He and I were classmates in Los Angeles at USC. He's also a very, very skilled choral conductor, and that's what he studied there. But I knew he was also a wonderful, wonderful composer. And his piece, the Ave Maria, was a finalist in the composer competition for Octarium, which is an American-based octet. So we're very excited to give the UK premiere of that. The other piece is Ego Sum by the Haitian-American composer Sidney Guillaume. And he and I, we've sort of casually met over the years. We managed to miss each other because we were both at Miami, though I think he graduated the year before I began. So we managed to miss each other just barely. But his music was championed by the conductor there at the time. So I got to sing a fair bit of it, both there and in Los Angeles later. So I became a huge fan of his music very quickly and early on. And Egil Sum, actually, I've been meaning to do, I was meant to do in a concert in 2012, a concert that did not happen. And just because of the way the world works, I wasn't able to have a chance to program it until now. So I'm very, very happy to be able to do it. It's a beautiful piece, just reminding us that kind of amplitude, that largesse that we seek, which, you know, a few of us might call God, others may not, but may find that largesse in the world around us. It can also be found within each one of us. And I think that's a message of comfort that we need at this point in time. So I'm very excited about those pieces.
And what other pieces are in the program?
We have an awkward conversation between two betrothed people, namely Joseph and Mary. When Joseph finds out that Mary is with child, and they have this rather awkward conversation, Mary's like, oh, it's okay, it's going to be okay, it's immaculate. And it's a wonderful setting by John Tavener of a poetry by Mother Thecla. Then there's, you know, some good old Stanford and Finzi tossed in, and some Rachmaninoff just for good measure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love some rock?
It's really great. We love singing those classic pieces, mm-hmm. but also something that's really great about this choir, if I say so myself,
yes.
is our commitment to wanting to support and explore new music, like mm-hmm. commissioning things when we can, or doing premieres. So I'm glad we've got two UK premieres.
Indeed. I think as a conductor, we conductors, we have also a duty to composers to give them their time of day. I think very often it's easy to sort of get lost in the classics that we like to sing, and it's important to do them as well. You know, we're not premiering a new music in place of other music, rather we're just expanding the rep that we have. And so I think we owe our composers a duty of care to give them the time of day.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very exciting.
Is there anything else you want to add about this concert?
Do come and listen to us. Do come and experience a program that, again, has a little bit of something for everyone. And it's a chance to be a part of live music again, because even though we are a chamber choir based in Bath, we are part of that larger scene around the country and worldwide of live music that we've been silenced for too long. And this is our chance to come back. So do come and be a part of that, is what I would say.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you for listening. If you haven't already got your tickets, we'd be delighted to sing this programme for you. Serenity, Songs of Blessing and Reflection is at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday the 4th of December at St Mary's Church, Bathwick. You can get tickets from Bath Box Office, and you can also find the links in the podcast description or on our website, thehandful.org. We really hope to see you there.